wonderful day when the church of God stands before the throne of God. And we cast our crowns at the feet of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for that day that's coming. But today, on this Sunday morning, on this Lord's Day, we come before you. We say that Jesus Christ is worthy of all glory, all power, all honor. We're so thankful this morning for all that Christ has done for us in shedding his blood on the cross, being buried and rising again the third day. And we come to worship him this morning in spirit and truth. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help us to learn more from your holy scriptures, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless the day. May Christ be praised. And we, as the saints, Lord, help us to grow. And I pray if there be someone in this room who does not know you, dear Father, draw that person to yourself, would you? Before it's too late, we thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Take your Bibles if you would. Thank you, Miss Robin. Take your Bible if you would. And turn to Mark chapter 9 this morning. Mark chapter 9. We are going verse by verse through the book of Mark on Sunday mornings. Tonight, we're talking about the difference between biblical justice and social justice. What is the difference between biblical justice and social justice? If you want to know more about that, come back tonight at 6 o'clock. But Mark chapter 9, and looking at verse 1. Mark chapter 9, and looking at verse 1. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus had taken with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them into a high mountain, apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceedingly white, even as snow, so as no fuller on earth can whiten them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses. They were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son. Hear him. And suddenly, when they looked around about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves. Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house on this Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. Thank you for those who've chosen, made decision to come out on this day and be in your house to worship you in spirit and truth. And I just pray, Lord, today that through your word and through your spirit, you'd help us, Father, to see Jesus. Oh, so many voices out there, so many people, so many projects, so many opportunities in this world. But, oh, Lord, may we see Jesus this morning. May we see Jesus. Thank you that Jesus Christ died for our sins so we could have everlasting life. I pray that you'd help us to see him and know him, live for him, and share him with others around us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us realize that our culture is becoming less and less reverent, especially concerning the Bible and Christianity. Our society is not just slouching towards Gomorrah, we're becoming Gomorrah. And actually, parts of our country are Gomorrah. Even in times like these, the scriptures remind us that honoring God and his word is vital. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3 is Moses was given the command to the children of Israel, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And dear friend, that was to the children of Israel, but it's good for us today in America. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, after this manner, pray ye our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We give so much honor to athletes and actors, business leaders, all these type of things, even first responders, though they have their due. But our highest honor should be to the word of God in Jesus Christ. If we revere, If we honor, if we focus, if we prioritize anything in our life, it first should be Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. This morning, we're going to look at these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, what they learned about the importance of reverencing God alone. First of all, this morning, we see the Lord's purpose. The Lord's purpose. As we read this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's this account of the transfiguration of Christ is both in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus chooses to go up on a mountain, a high mountain. Let me believe this mountain is Mount Hermon, which is the northern part of Israel above the Sea of Galilee. The reason why he goes, we believe, first of all, he left the crowd to spend time with his Father. And often in the Gospels, we'll see that Jesus would leave the rest of the disciples. He would leave the crowd to spend time with his disciples or with God alone. It talks about in Luke chapter 9 that we read in Luke chapter 9 verse 29 that Jesus left those around him that he could go and pray to spend time with God. And you know what? It's always wise for us to seek God, especially early in the morning. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Oh, how wonderful it is, how important it is for us to daily to spend time with God. But not only did he go to spend time with his Father, he went to separate himself from the majority of disciples in order for him to be able to speak to both Moses and Elijah. Now, dear friends, here in about 35, 40 minutes, most of you men are going to be, your bellies are going to be grumbling. You'll be wanting some chicken. You'll be wanting some steak. You want some mashed potatoes. You'll be wanting some biscuits. You'll be wanting something to eat. I was hoping one Baptist man would say amen. But you know what? If you don't spend time with God on a regular basis, your belly won't be grumbling. You'll be grouchy. Amen. Do I have a witness of anybody being grouchy because you ain't been spending time with God lately? Oh, man, you go around sometimes, I've been noticing lately, you go around some places, you smell things like a skunk. They leave an odor, don't they? But, dear friend, if you don't spend time with God, you will leave an odor, and it will not smell very good at all. Time with God is always time well spent. Time with God is always time well spent. But to do that, you have to separate yourself. You have to get away from some things. You have to get away from the noise and the hubbub and the stuff of life and prioritize it because it is vital to your spiritual growth. You will be no different today than you will be 5 years from now than what you read and the people you meet. Most importantly, Christian, you will be no different today now than you will be 5 years from now if you don't feast on this book. I know Christians have been saved for 30, 40, and 50 years, and they've not been any different. Why have they still children spiritually, though they're older physically? Because they've not chosen to invest, to spend time, to dwell with God. There is nothing that replaces that. No video series, no TV series, no book on Audible that you can use to replace God than spending time with him. The problem is we put everything else before Jesus. But Jesus set the example. He said, if I'm going to spend time with God, if I'm going to spend time with Moses, if I'm going to spend time with Elijah, I got to separate myself from the crowd. I got to get away from most of the disciples, and I got to spend time with them. So we see this conference. Look at verse 1. It says, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there shall some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. See, Jesus was going to reveal his glory, and he did. And while these three disciples were taking a Baptist nap, which is going to happen about 2 hours from now, because after you eat that beef or that barbecue, you're going to have a little Baptist nap, because without a Baptist nap, there is no snap to come back this afternoon at 6 o'clock. Amen? So while these Peter, James, and John are taking a Baptist nap, Jesus was transfigured and speaking to Moses and Elijah. It says in Luke chapter 9, verse 32, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. When they were awake, they saw his glory. The two men with him stood with him. And this word here that comes from the Greek word metamorphoso, which has a basic meaning of transforming into another form, which is a term from which we get the word metamorphosis. Like that transfiguration process that happens between a caterpillar, this little creature that turns into a beautiful butterfly. There's a change. There's a change. And we believe over 30 years, Jesus' glory had been veiled in human flesh, but for a little while speaking to these great men, Moses and Elijah, he unveils his humanity to show his divinity. The Bible says there in verse 3, his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, as no fuller on earth can white them. Wow. To see the glory of God, to see the beauty of it. Can you imagine these men who woke up from that Baptist nap to see just a glimpse of the glory of God? Dear friend, what a day that's going to be when we as human beings who've been living for faith for all these years are going to see him with sight. Going to see him in all his glory. Whoa, praise God. That day's coming. That day's coming. The Bible says in 9:29 of the book of Luke, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. The raiment was white and glistening. Peter, James, and John wake up to see the wonderful glory of Jesus Christ. He said, oh, how I wish I could be there. I wish I could be in the presence. I wish I could see Moses and Elijah. Oh, dear friend, we have the privilege of being with Jesus every day. We have the privilege of being with him every day. Oh, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We have a first-class privilege. Now you go to here, the Gainesville Airport. You say, I want first-class seats. They say, well, what's your name? You say your name. Just because of your name, they're probably not going to give you first-class seats. And just because you've done something wondrous, they're probably not going to give you first-class seat. If you're going to have a first-class seat, you're going to pay for first-class seat. Dear friend, Jesus Christ has paid for us to be first-class. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. You are a son. You are a child of God forever in the beloved. We see the conference, but not only that. The reason for the conference is the cross. It says in Luke chapter 9, verse 31, who appeared in glory and spake of the decease which he had accomplished at Jerusalem. This word accomplished means to fulfill, to carry to the end, to finish. Now, Jesus did many great things we've been talking about in the book of Mark. He performed miracles, preached powerful sermons. Remember, the primary objective of Jesus Christ was to obey the will of the Father by dying for the sins of all mankind. That was his prime objective. That's what he came to do. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11, let every priest stand his daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ had one reason for coming. Oh, he did miracles. He taught many great lessons. He preached powerful sermons. He healed many people. The primary reason why Jesus came was to die for the sins of all mankind, to die for your sins and your friend's sins and your family's sins, yea, the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see the Lord's purpose. We see the Lord's purpose, this conference and the cross. But secondly, this morning, we see the disciples' proposal. We see the disciples' proposal. The disciples woke up to the glories of Christ, the conversation about the cross. We imagine the great awe of seeing Moses. Now think about meeting Moses. Think about meeting Moses. When you think of the Old Testament, there's a few people that come in mind, Abraham, David. But when I think about the Old Testament, of course, the first five books were written by Moses. I think about this man, Moses, who was said to be one of the meekest men that ever walked the earth. This man who was brought birth to these people who were basically slaves in the land of Egypt, who were raised by the very, very, very the powerful people of Egypt, who made a decision to follow after the world or follow after the God, and he chose not to go after the things of the world. He chose to go after the things of God. And God used him in a miraculous way. For 40 years, he was in Egypt. For 40 years, he was in the backside of the desert taking care of sheep. And God used that time preparing him while he was taking care of the sheep, because he was going to take care of a couple million Israelites. Oh, you're talking about sheep taking some time and taking some energy and taking some love. Whoa, talk about 2 or 3 million people. Whoa. God prepared the man. He saw the burning bush, and he, by the grace of God, he chose to be used as an instrument to deliver his people from Egypt. And ultimately, after those plagues and after going through the Red Sea, he got to see the glory of God and get these Ten Commandments and teach and lead these people called the Israelites after 40 years of wandering, ultimately to the place where they're getting ready to cross over the Jordan to the promised land. The Bible says about him in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 29, and it came to pass that Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, Moses wist not that his skin, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. He didn't know that when viewing the glory of God, that his face shone of the glory of God. You ever been around some people and you just know they've been with God? You just know they've been spending time with God. They've been living for God, and it's kind of embarrassing because you know you haven't. You ever been there? You ever done that? I remember being in Bible college one time, and I was talking to this young man, and he was talking about Jesus. He was talking about how he was in love with God and how he adored God and how he worshiped God. And I looked over that man and I felt like just a little ant. I said, man, that guy, he's got something that I don't got, and I want to get it. I want something. Moses had something that most folks don't have. He had a right relationship with God. Oh, do you long for that? Do you desire that? Is it more important than honey? Is it more important than barbecue? Is it more important than anything else in your life? Is it more important than a promotion? Is it more important than gold or gifts or things? Is it most important in your life that you just get a glimpse of God and get in the glow of God? Oh, that we would have that desire, the hunger, that thirst for God. Moses had that. Not only they got to see Moses, they got to see, it says here, Elias. It's actually Elijah. Remember, Elijah saw the glory of God when the fire fell from heaven and destroyed the sacrifice on Mount Carmel. Remember that event? Remember there on that Mount Carmel, you got 450 prophets of Baal and Asheroth. They're talking about having the fire fall, and they're cutting themselves, and they're calling to their gods. And they're saying, oh, the fire's going to fall. The fire's going to fall. They had this contest. Who's really God? What does Elijah do? Well, I tell you what, just put some water on it. And put a little more water on it. And put a little more water on it. And after all those circumstances, which normally would seem impossible, I mean, water and fire, that just don't mix. The fire of God falls. It consumes the offering. And they fall down and worship God. What did Elijah have like the other folks didn't have? He had a right relationship to God. That he could talk to God and God would listen to him. And not only listen to him, he would do it. He would do it. When's the last time you talked to God and asked him something and he actually did it? You mean I can actually pray and ask for something and God will actually do it? Man, what's what praying's about, right? Seek and you may find. Ask. It should be given unto thee. Well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? To ask God, to seek God, to ask of God? We are children of God. And if we are children of God, shouldn't we go to the throne of God and ask him? And dear friends, if he cares about the sparrows, if he cares about the raven, if he cares about the grass, don't you think he cares about you? Don't you think he cares? Oh, they saw Moses. They saw Elijah. And in the midst of all this excitement, Peter, opens his mouth. It says in verse 5, and Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Peter recognized the privilege it was to see the glorified Lord with Moses and Elijah. Oh, there'll be times in our life where the Spirit of God will move in special ways. There'll be times in our life where we'll see something. God will reveal himself to us. There'll be special times. I remember a time I went to a little camp in Kentucky called Camp Victory. Now, Camp Victory, compared, ladies, to the place you go in PCC, that's like going from the White House to the outhouse. It's a little bit different. A little bit different. I mean, this was just a real simple camp. Had some dorms, had a tabernacle, had a place to play some games. But mainly, it was just out there in Kentucky in the hills. But at night, about 7 o'clock at night, they'd have all these teenagers come, and they would get underneath the tabernacle. And old Brother Griffiths, he would just wind up and start preaching. That man would preach for about an hour. Now, he wouldn't just preach. He would scream and yell. Now, some folks just don't like it. My wife was like, I'm not sure about all that. But I'm just like, keep on preaching, brother. Keep on talking. Keep on saying it. I was just enjoying it, man. I was like saying, stick him to a bulldog. I loved it. And after it was all over with, I didn't know how our teenagers were going to deal with that. I mean, they're not used to that type of intense preaching. After it was over with, he had an altar call. And, you know, usually an altar call, you have maybe one or two or three, and, you know, you have some folks come. The altar was filled. The altar was filled. And it wasn't just teenagers. It was men and women, adults, old, young, from the youngest to the oldest. I saw for the first time in my life real revival. I saw real revival with my own eyes. I saw men and women, children, getting up in front of a crowd of about 200 people, confessing their sins, asking for forgiveness, getting right with God. The service didn't go on for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. It went on for like 3 hours. The whole time people were getting up, getting right. Getting right with mom, getting right with youth director, getting right with youth director's wife, getting right with other people. They were getting right. What's wrong with us? The problem with us is we're so consumed with ourselves that we've chosen not to get right with God. Oh man, how can we expect folks in the White House to be right when we're not right in God's house? Oh, my dear friend, sometimes we can see exciting things. Peter saw something exciting. I don't know about you, but I won't be where God's at. I want to see God work. I want to see folks confessing their sins and getting right with one another. I want to see families whose wife and husband are at odds with one another, repent of their sins and quit blaming each other for their problems and starting admitting their own problems. See, dear friend, if you would quit pointing at the problems of everybody else and say it's not their problem and not their problem, but the problem is me, we might get right with God. But we spend so much time, that person's not right, and that person's not right, and that person's not right. We don't look at ourselves and say, I'm not right. That's where we have to start. It doesn't start with him or her or they. It starts with me. It starts with me. Wife, quit pointing out your husband's sins. You get right with God. Husband, quit talking about how your wife can't fix a meal, how she can't do this. How about just be thankful you married? Amen. Because the bed's cold at night. That's what my dad said if my mom died. Oh, dear friend, be thankful for what we have, and may we choose to get right with God. Be warned. Be warned. Be thankful. Brethren, we need to walk in the Spirit, be sensitive to his leading, his working in our lives. It is good to see his glory. We see the fact here of this tribute that Peter wanted to set up for both Moses and Elijah. But he goes on to say, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Now, remember, Peter got excited. He saw the glory of God. And oftentimes, it's a funny phenomenon. After I'll preach or I hear somebody preach, I'll get excited. I want to go do something for God. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with somebody to get excited. It's nothing wrong with people saying, I want to do something for God. I've been led by God. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. Amen. Peter got so excited. One commentator wrote about Peter, of all Peter's faults lay in the heat of his heart. He was too hard-hearted, too impulsive, too enthusiastic. His hot heart was always in his mouth, and he spoke it all out many a time when he should have held his peace. Oh, how many of us, when we should have not have said a word, we say something we shouldn't have said. When we got upset, when we got angry, when we got frustrated, we should have walked away. We should have walked away. We should have walked away. Should have walked away. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Some of you right now, you're suffering the words of some preacher, some deacon, some mom, some dad. There's not a time I go on visitation, I don't usually meet somebody that says to me, I used to go to church. But that person down at that Baptist church, oh, that Baptist church, I know. Or that Pentecostal church, I know. Or that Methodist church or that Catholic church, they said that, they did that. And they're bitter to the bones because somebody said something that offended them, and they're at home on Sunday when they could be in the house of God on Sunday. Oh, my dear friends, we got to be careful what we say. Mama said a lot of things I should have listened to. But you, she used to say, Marty, if it's not good, probably don't say it. It's not good, probably not say it. Be careful what we say. We get excited and we say things we probably shouldn't say. Oh, he says, be quick to hear. Well, we're swift to hear. Oh, but dear friend, be careful what we say. I heard the story about a preacher who was on an airplane. He was aboard a jetliner and heard some turbulence. He said some turbulence, began shaking violently in a panic. A fellow passenger who knew who the preacher was says, hey, say, preacher, quick, say something. The pastor was so excited, he said, let's take up an offering. He had to say something. That's what a Baptist preacher does. Peter was actually placing Moses and Elijah on an equal plane with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Peter's thinking, here's Elijah, here's Moses, here's Jesus. Let's put these men on the same plane. Let's build a tabernacle to them. But unfortunately, he was wrong. We see the Lord's proposal. We see Lord's purpose, the disciples' proposal. And finally, as we close this morning, the Father's proclamation. Look again at verse 7. There was a cloud that overshadowed them and a voice that came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus alone, only with themselves. Peter needed to be reminded, as we need reminded, that we often need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is God and that he's first. The Bible says in John 10:33, the Jews answered them saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus did more than make himself out to be God. He was, is, and forever will be God. For he said in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Dear friends, may we listen to the instructions this morning. First of all, hear the Son. Hear the Son. At the baptism of Jesus, the Father's focus was on the Son. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At the crucifixion, the focus was on the Son. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. The earth did quake, the rocks rent. Verse 52, and the graves were opened. Many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared to the mountain. At the baptism, Jesus was the focus. At the crucifixion, Jesus was the focus. On the mountain, Jesus was the focus. I pray by the grace of God that Jesus would be our focus throughout our life. What does he have to do to get our attention? I don't remember if you guys think it was several years ago, probably during the 20s, was you drive up 95 or you drive up 75, these parallel interstates, and you would see signs that would say, we need to talk, God. That thy love thy neighbor thing, I meant that, God. Let's meet at the house on Sunday before the game, God. Love the wedding, invite me to the marriage, God.
What part of thou shalt not didn't you understand? God. You have any idea where you going? God. Need directions? God. I don't question your existence. God. Oh, those are wonderful reminders of our need to reverence and know God. Hear the Son. But not only hear the Son, heed the Son. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. A.W. Tozer said, it's not just trust, it's not just obey, it's trust and obey. Oh, dear friends, we need to trust him. We're not just trusting him to save our souls. We need to obey him. We need to obey this book and live for him. The Bible says in Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence at all times that are about him. Peter got the message from God. He heard it, but eventually he heeded it. How do we know? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. He writes, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. We received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, which is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were there with him in the Holy Mount. He remembered what God said. He heeded his word and he lived the life. Oh, dear friend, one thing to read this word, to study this word, to know this word. Another thing is to live this word. To live this word, to live it. Peter heard and heeded. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote in 2 Timothy verse 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto a day dawn, and the day still arise in your hearts. What was Peter saying? More than what we saw, that was a glorious experience. That was a wonderful event. That was a great opportunity that we had to see the glory of God in Moses and Elijah. But dear friend, more than that, which we saw on that day when Jesus Christ was transfigured into pure whiteness, pure glory, we have a more sure word right here in front of us. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Word of God. My dear Christian friend, may I ask you a question this morning? Is Jesus Christ first in your life? Have you decided to make him priority? You know, so oftentimes I think we're motivated by so many different things except for Jesus, instead of Jesus Christ. We're motivated by the fear of man. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Dear friend, are you afraid of how people are going to say about you, going to talk about you, and is that what motivates you to do or not do what you do? Does it matter what people's really opinion are you? Are you going to be swayed by how people think or don't think? Galatians 1:10, Paul put it this way, for I'm now persuaded men to persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who are you going to please in this life? Are you going to choose to try to please everybody around you? Dear friend, if you try to please everybody around you, you will not please Jesus Christ. You cannot please everybody around you. You have to choose to please him and him alone. And get this, if you choose to please God, if you say, I'm going to put him first, if you choose, I'm going to seek him first, you will be a better husband. You'll be a better father. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better mother. You'll be a better employer. Being a better employee. If you put him first, you'll be better in all areas of your life. But if you choose to put other people first, you'll be a sorry Christian and sorry in every other area of your life. You choose it. You choose it. You choose it. God first, Jesus first, or others? Or others? What did Jesus do? John chapter 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me, he said. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. Is that you today? Are you so busy in your life trying to please people in your life? Trying to do things for others, trying to make everybody happy, trying to do this for that guy, trying to do this for that guy. oh, you'll be miserable. Your life will be like a roller coaster. Because, dear friends, you'll make somebody happy one day. The next day, they won't be happy. If you live your life on the emotions of other people, you will be miserable. Seek Jesus first. Live for him. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And dear friend, if you do that, one day you'll stand before God and he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. One of these days, dear friend, I'm going to stand before one person, not my mama, not my dad, not my past employers, not my past preachers. I'm going to stand before one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I want to live to please him alone. Father, we thank you for your goodness and thank you for your grace. Thank you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see him. Oh, there's so many voices. So many people say, do this, do that, go here, go there, see this, see that. Oh, Lord, may we live to please you. May we choose not to live to lead to please the world. May we choose not to please our flesh. Now we choose to go after gold or glory, but when we choose to glorify Christ with our lives. Maybe there's someone in this room say, preacher, to be honest with you, I know you've been talking about Jesus. I know you've been talking about seeking God first, but if I'm totally honest this morning, I don't know Christ myself. I don't have a personal relationship with God, but I'd like one. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, dear friend, the bad news is we're all sinners on our way to hell, but the good news is that Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood for you so that you could have everlasting life. You don't have to be separated from God in a real place called hell. You can go to heaven. You can have fellowship with God himself through Jesus Christ. You can't become a Christian. You can know that you know when you die, you'll be in heaven because you placed your faith in Christ alone who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Say, preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved today. I'm not sure if I die and go to heaven, but I want to. With head bowed and eyes closed, say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I'd like to be a Christian. I've heard you talk about it. I've been wondering. I've been considering it, but I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody be honest this morning? I'm not sure. I won't point you out. I won't embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you. I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but would you pray for me? I want to be a Christian. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Preacher, I'm a Christian, but if I'm totally honest, put your hands down. But if I'm totally honest, when you're talking about living for Jesus, I've not been, but I want to. Maybe you've lived long enough to know what it's like not to live for Jesus. You've lived with the consequences of sin because of bad choices. Maybe you're living under the guilt right now, the regret right now of bad choices because you put yourself first instead of God first. But dear friend, you know what? I love what the Bible says. We confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can choose right now, right where you're seated. Or if you'd like, when you stand up and the music plays, you can come to this altar. But today you can get right with God. Today you can choose him. You can say, today I'm not living for me. I'm not living for others. So primarily I'm choosing to live for Christ alone. I'm making Christ first. Now you maybe made that decision when you were a teenager at camp or some other time during a revival, but maybe you just need to make that decision again. Because oftentimes how easy for any of us or all of us to get off the path of righteousness. You say, preacher, that's me. I put other people, I put other things, maybe work or other relationships before Christ. That's me this morning. I need to change. I need to seek Christ first. I need to get my focus right on Christ first. Would you pray that God would give me the holy boldness to put Jesus first in my life? Is that you this morning? I'd love to pray for you. Anybody be honest? That's me today. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. That's me. Anybody else this morning? I'm struggling. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? I'm struggling. I find myself putting other stuff first, other people first, other things first, other stuff first. Jesus is not first in my life. I'm putting money first. I'm putting my future first. I'm putting my kingdom first. Jesus is not first. Anybody else this morning, pray for me. Amen. Anybody else? Just stand to our feet this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, your Savior, as the music plays, would you come? If you're here today and say, I'm a Christian, but I've not been living for God. I've been living for myself. I've been living for other things. I need to put Him first. Would you come? Would you come? Make that decision. Don't let your pride keep you from coming. Don't let your flesh keep you from coming. Don't let anything keep you from coming. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning, would you come? Lay it on the altar and say, I'm putting Christ first. I'm putting Christ first.